Future Hacker. Life. Path. Future.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Future Hacker. I'm your host, Maria Taigi, and today we're talking to Samuel Lopez. Samuel is an industrial engineer specialized in business development, and he's a passionate entrepreneur. He's currently the CEO of Plantai, a software and hardware as a service that connects plants through IoT devices based on radio frequency and GPRS technology. Previously, he has founded some startups, but you know, I'll let him tell us that story. I'm sure he has some great stories here to share. So hi, Samuel. It's so great to have you with us today. And I forgot to mention, you're from Spain, right?
Yeah. Hi, everyone. Thank you. Thank you for your time and this opportunity. Yeah, I'm from Spain. I live in Madrid. I'm an industrial engineer here in Madrid too. That's all. I've been in the entrepreneurship world during the last 12 years. After that, I began with 12 years old creating business or small businesses with my neighbors and other examples. But I've been 12 years creating companies.
You know what? I'd love to begin by your story because, you know, what I love about it, you know, when we connected before, is that it's not only about, you know, your usual journey, you know, and where, how did you get today? But unlike most people, you told me, having gone through so many experiences being an entrepreneur, and I think you mentioned it's your fourth company or more, I don't know, you actually like to share the fails, which I find it amazing. What went wrong, the don'ts. And I honestly believe that's how we learn the most. So it would be an honor if you could share some of the wisdom you acquired during those times. You know, any nice stories you'd like to share about it?
Yeah, well, the main problem for entrepreneurs and CEOs is that, unless in the first startup, is that they don't used to listen any person in the sector or any advisor because they think that they have the idea, they have the business model, all is perfect. And they are not going to make any mistake. And I was like that 12 years ago. So, well, I have been creating small businesses and stupid ideas during the last 20 years. But 12 years ago, I had the idea with another friend because we work in the nightlife sector, bars, disco restaurants, at the meantime that we were studying engineering. To earn money and to go out and to fun and to find different places in Madrid. And we had the idea to create a browser to find bars and discos open and to filter by the schedule, the prices, the music style, and all of that. You can think that it's a very, very amazing idea, but I think that a lot of people in the world had the same idea in different cities and in different countries where when they were looking for any bar open or something like that. So we were two industrial engineers and we decided to tell the idea to another friend from the same neighbor in Madrid who was a computer engineer because we needed someone to develop the app and the browser and all of that. So we created it. We began a business plan in my house. We were working in different companies 12 years ago. I was in Airbus, in an aeronautical company. So very, very different of agriculture world or nightlife world. And we began to create this browser. So we were 1 year and a half. We registered 600 bars in Madrid, bar per bar, because I'm talking 12 years ago, you know, and there were not very good information about bars, about nightlife, bar owners, and all that. So we work in the morning or during the day in our works. And after that, in the night until 1-2 night, we were bar per bar in Madrid. So we created a browser to find the nearest bar and you could filter by these characteristics. So it was very interesting. And we won an international prize here in Spain to go to MIT, to Boston, with the Tier 35. It's one of the 35 best prizes in the world. And we were there visiting the city and looking for partners, investors, and all of that. So on that way, I recognized that we needed the money. So I wrote 220 investors in Boston looking for money because I had a very great idea to explain there. So I call this stage of my life, I call unfortunately, period. Why? Because only 25% of them answered me, and 95% of the answer was, thank you, you're a very nice guy, but unfortunately, you are not a good startup for me. We are focused on another investment model. But, well, there in Boston, I continue meeting and I were looking for money to create the company. And one of the very interesting venture capital there told me, okay, it's a very good idea. You're a good guy, but your invoicing is zero. So what are you doing in Boston? Make sales in Madrid, make customers in Madrid, and then test the business model in Madrid, and then call me. No problem, about $1 million. So the first advice is look for money in your city or in your country and create your minimal value product.
And the MVP, right? Yeah.
Correct. In your city, not over the world, okay? But it was very interesting. And after that, my partner, this...
I'm sorry to interrupt. I just understand where you're coming from. The thing is that I don't know how Spain is, but depending on your country, it's really easier to get investors in the US, for example. Like here in Brazil, it's such a pain to be getting investors. So when the culture is easy to get funding, it's natural for CEO and founders to go there. But, you know, you kind of have those extra steps before there of just go get your MVP, have your proof of concept, and then you do that, right?
Sure. Because to begin a startup, you need, I don't know, 50,000 euros, 20,000 euros, not 1 million. So take this quantity of money, test it, and then, of course, you have KPIs, you have traction, you will access to the $1 million. Dollars or million. No? So it was the best answer for us because the CTO left the work and we began to create the second stage of the project because the first one was only a browser to find bars and nightlife. And the second was a social network and a CRM, a customer relation management, to the bar owners to connect them to the bar goers and users. So the CTO left the work. We were, I think, 1 year developing an app in Android code, a native app, without launching nothing. So we thought like engineers, thinking what bar owners and users will need, but we didn't test nothing for them. So we created, imagine, a push.
You developed everything to then,
everything you can think. I mean, in 2012, we developed push technology to connect from bar owners to the users. Instant messaging app like WhatsApp, we created it into the app. I don't know, 20 functionalities. But at the end, bar goers did not use any one of them. Only the browser, only something to pay less or any discount. But it was a problem because the bar owner, with a very big tool and complex tool, they didn't use it.
They just wanted to find the bars and to be found, and that's it.
Yeah, and to drink cheaper. Okay, so, and please give me the opportunity to introduce a credit card in the app in 2013. It was not possible. People did not use that. People didn't believe in a startup with an app for bars to use the credit card, you know. So we failed. I went to Miami looking for money. I went to Dublin. I went to other investors in Spain. And at the end, I was going to receive 70,000 euros from two business angels. But the real situation is that the startup didn't ramp because we developed a lot, because the market was not prepared for that, because a lot of things that a lot of advisors told me.
No, you were ahead of your time. Yeah.
Yeah. So I call my these two investors and I say then, sorry, it doesn't run. So don't give me your money. I will call you back. I don't know what we are going to do because I left the world just in that summer. So, well, we needed to survive. We didn't have money. So I told them, we have a lot of mistake and we need to survive. So, well, today these two business angels are my friend because when you are an investor and entrepreneur call you saying not to invest, oh, thank you, entrepreneur, you know. But it was a very interesting lesson because we thought like engineers, because one problem for engineers' profiles is that they think a lot in the product, they think a lot in the technology, in the style, in the usability. And no, it's not the most important. The most important is to know more about your client, the model, the money. And it's not if the bottom is blue or green. Don't worry about that. You know, so, well, we learned a lot. We needed to survive. So we created another company to develop IT projects and different platforms. We survived because we had five computer engineers in the project. Well, we created a company to survive and to think in other projects. After that, the third company was another nightlife app with other nightlife businessmen from the night. We created during 1 year and a half. We raised money. It didn't run too because we were the team who created the project. It was in 2015 and 2016. And the problem was not the app and the business model. It was perfect. The problem was the traction of the users. And I think that the problem was that we were 7 years before the people was prepared for this technology. Today, people know QR code. People introduce the credit card in many startups. And they are open to the smartphone technologies. But 7 years ago or 5 years ago, it was not easy to create a process on a smartphone app, mainly in the nightlife and in the night sector where there is a lot of drinks and the waiters began to 1 week before, so they are not prepared to understand nothing about new technologies. You know, it's a very difficult sector, and I think that the second mistake was that we were 5 years before of the people preparation for that, you know. So, well, we mistake again and we stopped the nightlife sector. And in the middle of these years and during these projects, when we had the IT company, because IT company always around because it was to develop things and to get money, we had the idea with a teacher of my university who called me one Saturday talking about the idea of a sensor to measure the moisture in the pots. It was the first idea of Plantai.
So it came from a teacher?
Yeah, yeah. I don't know, depend on the country, but at least in Spain, there are some teachers in the university that are people who work in another company or another profile who teach 2 hours, 4 hours per week or something like that. Well, I began to talk with this teacher at the beginning of my entrepreneurship career in 2011 because he was very, very entrepreneur person, no? And he said one time, there is a lot of money in the world. You only need to ask for 1 million and you can take it. And for me, he was like a Jedi master, you know? And from the beginning, he was, for example, I remember, I didn't talk about that, but in the first startup called Raiderbar, when I began with my deck and the PowerPoint presentation, and I show him, he told me, after five slides, four slides, what's that? it does not make sense. Go to the street and talk with the bar owners. You have been creating a business model or what's that? No, go to the street, you know. And it was why we registered 600 bar per bar, because it was very, very important. And it's something that I want to clarify, because it's, as I explained before, and last week I had a conversation with a startup created by engineers, electronic engineers. They have the idea to create sensor with a solar system to the batteries, okay? And they explained it, yeah. They explain it, each sensor with a solar charger, okay? Because we use standard batteries in our sensor. I will explain later. When they finish to present me the idea, the startup, and to help them, I ask them why customers don't need solar charge for the sensors, because they use batteries. So, okay, if there is a worldwide mandatory to use not to use batteries, okay, I buy it. If not, they don't have this problem. You have been creating a technology for something that is not necessary. And it was one of the big mistakes of a lot of startups, I mean, because they think what the user and the customer needs, and they need to ask them before doing nothing. So, well, it was we did with Radar, but the problem was that we continue developing a lot of tools, you know, and it was our mistake. But this teacher told me this advice. And well, I had a relation with him during the first years in our entrepreneurship career. And one day he called me because he had a client with pods and he had the idea of a sensor. And he saw us as a team because we were three engineers, one computer. I was, my skills were about management and commercial and sales and technical too. And the other one was an electronic engineer, but very sales manager too. So he found a team with one of the most important part in a startup. It's the second mistake from my point of view is when you see one team with four entrepreneurs with the same profile. Very difficult, because who is who, what are you doing? So be careful on that, because the most important in our startup is the team, the founders, and the big problems arrive from these founders and the team, you know. So it's very, very important to be clear, to know what it's important to do between different profiles of the team. You are good on programming, okay.
People that complement each other, right? And then question each other. So if you have a team that is always agreeing with each other, that's not a good sign, definitely. We have to have people questioning the model and questioning and being complemented each other. That's definitely, yeah, that's a great advice.
So I'm on my side, I think that on that way, we have been very lucky, because we are three from 12 years ago. You know, it's like a rock group, you know, it's something like that. When you see the drums, the guitar, the bass, it's very important to create something that is connect. It's very similar to a startup. So on that, in relation of us, I think it was very fortunate to be our three and to be connected in different projects. When you are going down, because in the entrepreneurship world, it's typical to be 1 month here, the other one hears, you know. So this teacher called me. He has the idea. He needed a team. We began with the idea of Plantai. But it's very interesting, because the first idea of Plantai was to create a sensor for pots to sell it in supermarkets and in gardening shops and all of that. Why? Because, well, we didn't know the agriculture sector or the professional sector. I mean, we didn't have experience on that. So the first idea was to create a pot with a sensor, a wireless sensor, of course, to know if you need to water or not. Very typical problem when you have pots and plants at home and in a small flat and you don't know a lot of things about flowers and pots. So it was the first idea of the sensor. So we were 1.5 years exploring and studying and working about the technology about a very, very wireless and low-cost sensor. Okay, so we spent, at the meantime that we were in the other projects or with the other company, we spent 1.5 years trying to find a very, very, very low-cost sensor because we wanted to create something without wire and easy to sell in a supermarket. So we created it. We created a prototype of this sensor with radio frequency technology and all of that. And in 2016, when we had the first prototype, we decided to stop the nightlife sector and to survive again and to use this sensor for the market. The first thing what I did is a questionnaire. I met with 50 people in one room, friends of friends in an event, and I presented the idea. And I asked them if they would buy a sensor and the pod. Only 2 from the 50 people. Why? Because if you have pods at home, because you will be our target, you used to know how to water them. If not, you have plastic pods, or you leave them, or you drop it and buy another plant. You know, the plant cost is $10 or $15, so no problem. I will find how to manage the plant. It's not a...
I just put my finger, and if it's dry, I water it, right?
Yeah, correct. And if you go holidays 1 month and the plants die, no problem. In September, you will buy another one, you know. So it was not a necessity. The second message I received is that I studied my competitors, and one of them was Flower Power. It was a product from the company Parrot. Parrot, who created GPRS technology, and it's a worldwide company. And Flower Power is what's called the product, was, I don't know, $60 cost. It's a very, very beautiful sensor that by Bluetooth technology told you if you need it to water or not your pots. So our sensors were very, very ugly, very, very simple, very, very... And Flower Power was perfect. They didn't sell it. In all the supermarkets in Spain, in all the greenhouses, shops, Flower Powers were for at the top of the... You know, they didn't sell it. So it was the second signal. Yeah, if they... this worldwide company invested a lot in marketing, in image, in product, in technology, and they didn't sell it, what can we do, you know? So the second signal about the problem of the idea in the B2C market was that. Why I did that before beginning? Because I had the mistakes in the other startups. If not, I would have begun to try to raise money, you know, but...
And many years, yeah.
So my CTO partner did not develop nothing until we validate the market. So we had the sensor created. It was very nice, but I did not know who was in market. So I went to worldwide or Spanish big events in relation to smart cities, to gardening, to agriculture, and all the niche markets or the markets where it could be interesting to measure the moisture in a pot or in a soil, okay? And it's when I found a problem in the agriculture sector and the professional sector, because we met an agricultural engineer who is today our chief agriculture officer. And he's an engineer. He has a lot of trees of pistachio and almond trees and wine trees. So he has a lot of experience on agriculture. And in January, I think December, January 2017, he visited us and he said, okay, I am going to create a sensor to measure this one. Oh, you have it, guys. Very good. It's very interesting. It's wireless. We can customize it depending on the crop. and the cost is very cheap for agriculture sector. So I think you have a very good idea. And do you know that 95% of the irrigation agriculture sector in Spain water by eye? Really? Yeah. Only in Southeast, in horticulture, in hydroponic, in different crops, they use more technology. But I don't know, all the trees, all the irrigation, agriculture for trees, big horticulture plantations, water by eye. Really?
Listen, wait, like, hold the thought. I'm just loving this story so much, Samuel. Is that an inspiration? And then, you know, you realize you just keep finding those people along your journey that give you the click, right? And that's so amazing. I just love it so much. And I have so many questions for you. But, you know, we are out of time for the first episode. We are moving to the second episode so we can get deeper into how you were able to turn around your idea from B2C to B2B and talk about all challenges and what's next and what you guys are doing. I have many questions for you. So everybody, stay tuned. We are going to a second episode with Samuel Lopez about the story of Plantai.
To conclude this first part, I will replay the most important things or tips. I mean, one is to validate your product for sure. Second is to study the competitors and the market, because maybe they will show you the way to the success. And the third, because I didn't say that, is that you need to look yourself and to study your capabilities and your financial situation to be an entrepreneur. Why? Because if not, you will be always surviving with many problems, economical problems with your wife, your girlfriend, your mom, your parents, you know. So when you have the idea, okay, study a lot your business plan, your market, your competitors, test it, create an MVP, and think about your financial opportunity and your financial situation to survive, because it's not easy. You think that you will have clients in only 3 months, but maybe it's 1 year. So you will need to eat during 1 year at least, you know? So when I talk about entrepreneurship tips and all of that, I think, okay, be careful about these 3 points. And of course, the fourth is, continue work hard and continue believing in you, because it's something that I found in US. In US, a lot of people is entrepreneur. The entrepreneurship mind is everywhere, but unless in Spain and in other European countries, people sometimes see you like an strange profile. Why you don't work in a consultancy firm or in a bank or in a big company as engineer? Why are you entrepreneurs?
Well, no, when they consider you're still working, right? Because
yeah, because you will work 12 hours per day. You will not have money. You know. But if you believe in that, continue on that, because with hard work, commitment, of course, a little challenge, talent, you or your team, at least, you will find your audiences only to finish this first period.
Perfect. Thank you so much, Samuel. Everybody, just stay tuned for the second episode.
Future Hacker. Life. Path. Future.